CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour.
Chuang Qian Ming Yue Guang. 已是地上霜，举头望明月，低头思故乡.
Starting off the episode ambitiously by reading you a poem in Mandarin. Hey, it's Typically Tuesdays here on 90.1 FM. I'm its host, Leslie. Oh, that's a weird way to introduce the program. And this is a program on 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the Encina Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. And this episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on the Encina Coast Salish territories of the Kwikwetlem, Stolo, and Catsey First Nations. At Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. Starting off the episode with a poem by the Tang Dynasty poet Li Bai, and if you know, you know, and if you don't, hold on to your seat, because I'm going to be telling you about it later on this episode, and the moon is heavily featured in this poem because that's what today's episode is going to be about. Because it's Mid-Autumn Festival this Tuesday, September 17th. It is a day where some people who follow the lunar calendar celebrate harvest. And the moon is kind of the main character throughout these celebrations, particularly in certain Chinese customs. And because I am Chinese, I'm going to be talking about the moon today. No, that's not how I want to phrase it. That's not how I want to frame it. Because of the occasion, and I am Chinese, and we grew up being very, I don't know, moon-centric, I guess, I'm going to be talking about the moon today and about how it appears sometimes, I think, in like literature and like music and, you know, just like art and culture in general in some parts of the world as this motif around, I think, like relationships and particularly navigating human relationships, either the lack of or the presence of or love in many of its forms. Yeah. I don't know, it's going to be a convoluted episode. Strap in. But first, also, let me make it very clear to you. I am not a literature scholar. I also am not a music expert. I am not a historian. I'm not a scientist. There are a lot of things that I am not. However, I am like a moon fangirl. And I'll get into more of that later on. For the playlist today, then, of course, we've got songs about the moon, or they mention the moon, or they're about moonlight, or they're in association with stories about the moon, or they're from Sailor Moon. You know what it is. Sing along if you know it. Here's the first track, Moonlight Densetsu, here on 90.1 FM, CJSF, Typically Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you just heard three. Count them, three. Songs from the 90s Sailor Moon anime franchise. You just heard Le Soldier, performed by Sakura Kurabu Sakuragumi. Before that, you heard Ai no Senshi by Yoko Ishida here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Of course, the first song that we listened to today was Moonlight Densetsu, which is the opening theme song of the 90s Sailor Moon anime. I hope you sang along if you knew it. It's fine if you didn't. I still think you're cool. I'm talking about the moon today because Mid-Autumn Festival is upon us very soon. It's actually happening this Tuesday, September 17th. And if you don't know what Mid-Autumn Festival is, well, it is a celebration of harvest for people who observe the lunar calendar. And that's a lot of different people around the world. This particular occasion marks the 15th day of the 8th month of the lunar calendar, which by, I don't know, legend or historical standards or traditional standards, represents the day on which the moon is at its roundest and biggest and brightest. The moon, therefore, also represents not only the gathering of harvest, but also the gathering of family and community. It also represents the giving of thanks towards the harvest and towards the moon, and also prayers to the moon goddess. And so, you know, around the world, people celebrate it in different ways, right? Because it's not, you know, it's not a monolithic type of celebration. Different people who observe the lunar calendar have their own ways of celebrating it. Mid-Autumn Festival in certain languages is also known by their particular names. Today, I am talking about specifically the entity, the moon, the thing which we celebrate on this day. Because visually, it holds a lot of significant meaning in a lot of the cultures that celebrate Mid-Autumn Festival, particularly like the roundness of the moon. The glowing yellow orb is sometimes seen in, for example, Cantonese-style mooncakes, where there's a salted egg yolk in the middle of this, like, pastry. And when you cut it open, you can see this round yellow shape. Or, for example, in the Japanese fast food treat called tsukimibaga, because the name of the occasion is Tsukimi, which means to look at the moon, and the burger has a fried egg in which, you know, the yolk is intact, and you open up the burger and you see this, like, glowing yellow orb. You know, Asian people, we love puns and visual metaphors. And particularly, of course, with regards to today's episode, the moon has a lot of really interesting literary and I think even cultural significance. It's a very interesting cultural figure in a lot of cultures around the world. And I think maybe, I don't know, perhaps every single culture has their interpretation of the moon as some kind of entity that does something. Today I'm going to be talking a little bit about that. I am a moon fangirl. I don't really know how to explain what that means other than I feel, you know, not to get too vulnerable here, not to share too much about my personal life here, but I do feel a very strong connection to the moon. I remember really vividly the moment when I realized, like, the moon is my girl, I guess. It was during one Mid-Autumn Festival evening where my parents and I went down to the river to do moon viewing after dinner. And as we began to drive away from the spot where we were looking at the moon, which was very beautiful when we looked at it, I turned back to look at it again. And the atmosphere around the river must have given us like a visual illusion, because suddenly it just became huge. It was this really quite dominating and in some ways kind of a cosmic horror-like sight. This little glowing orb that I see many nights of the year, suddenly it was taking up like almost, you know, it was taking up like 60% of my view of vision. And I was suddenly very scared, obviously. There's this like huge thing, huge beckoning, domineering thing. And you can't look away from it because it's so big. But I felt very calm as well because I felt very sure of my existence. It was a very weird experience. And it became a significant moment in my life because now I am a moon freak. The full moon comes out and I'm like wootin', hootin', and hollerin'. It's kind of weird. And at the same time, it is also like to be, you know, not as like unhinged about it. It is also continues to be something that reminds me of, you know, grounds me in my existence in some ways on Earth. And so I've become really like fascinated by how other people also think about the moon. I find that you can really observe a lot of that type of thing in art. So we're going to be talking about that after this music break. Here is a song that is like super very much in the oeuvre of like the greatest romance hits of Chinese language songs. And even if you're not like learning Chinese, even if you don't really speak Chinese, you might have heard the song before. Here's a soft core banger. This is Teresa Teng, 月亮代表我的心. The moon represents my heart.
This is Bird Note. Brown-headed cowbirds have a sneaky approach to parenthood. They lay eggs in the nests of other songbirds, and the songbird hosts often raise the cowbird chick as their own. It's called nest parasitism. It exploits a songbird's tendency to care for any young in the nest. But sometimes, the hosts catch on to the cowbird's ruse and throw out the odd-looking egg. And when that happens, the cowbirds have a way of dealing with this kind of disrespect. The cowbirds sometimes retaliate by destroying the host's other eggs. Scientists call this mafia behavior, likening it to organized crime groups enforcing their demands on unwilling business partners. In one study of cowbird mafia behavior, host parents that accepted the cowbird eggs fared better than ones that resisted, raising more of their own young. For the hosts, the risk of losing all their eggs at once outweighed the cost of having their chicks compete with the cowbird chick. It seems the cowbirds just want a smoothly running operation. No funny business. A little show of force now and then could help keep their hosts in line. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
I've been craving for your love, can't see nobody but us. So I, so I, so I see you from across the room, make my way over to you. I'm tripping over butterflies. Baby, you succeeded. Got a craving, baby, can you feed it? Woo. Take a trip on the moonlight. Follow me to the sunrise. Every day, every night. Hey, come with me, don't think twice. Oh, yeah. Baby, I don't really need to rush. But I'ma really need your touch. If I'ma make it through the night. I got the moonlight. Take it with sunrise. Come take a shot on me, I gotcha. I don't know how to say this. I hope this song's on your playlist. Guarantee I gotcha.
Moonlight, sunrise, baby.